Good morning, everybody. I'd like to speak on something this morning that I think affects everybody. You can put yourself in the slot that affects you. And what I'm going to talk about this morning is waiting. Waiting. I have a list of things here I put down that some people may be waiting for. First, waiting for spring. Waiting for warm weather and flowers. Waiting for friends and relatives. Waiting for the mail. Waiting for children to grow up. Waiting for retirement. Waiting for things that we have ordered, like a car, appliances, or clothing. Or waiting for a house to own or have it built. Waiting for fish to bite. Waiting for a garden to grow. Waiting for a sleepless night to end. Waiting for an injured arm or leg to heal. And waiting to die or waiting for Christ to come. You can put yourself in the slot that fits you of what I've said. However, we're going to look at some things in Scripture about waiting. And there are some old sayings that aren't in Scripture. One is, good things to come to those who wait. Did you hear that one? Another is, a watching pot will never boil. You wait, 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 wait. But waiting brings out the worst in man. Sometimes you just can't stand it to wait anymore. But also in Scripture it tells us that God is waiting. God is waiting? Yes, God is waiting. And David brings some of these thoughts out in the Psalms. You don't have to turn to them all if you don't want to, but I'm going to try to get through them. Psalm 86 and 15, David says this, "But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth." God is long-suffering. Also, in 1 Peter 3 and 20 says that God waited in the days of Noah. For what? For Noah to build the ark. He waited 120 years, it says in Genesis 6 and 3. 1 Peter 3:20 says God waited in the days of Noah. If you look back at that thought, God was waiting for people to turn to Him. Noah was building this great big boat, this ark. People all around thought, what is going on? Noah explained that God told us to do it. There's going to come a big catastrophe on the earth. You better turn to God. Imagine waiting 120 years while the ark was being built to have God's creatures turn to Him. God was long-suffering. And then it also tells us in Romans 9, Palestine. 21. Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory? It says here that God endured for a long time with long suffering vessels of wrath fitted to destruction. This was true in the days of Noah. God waited and waited and waited for them to turn to him, but only 8 souls were saved. They went into the ark, and they believed God, and they were saved through that great flood that happened here on the earth. Then we have another one in 1 Peter 3. Verse 9. No, 2 Peter 3. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are in shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? There we have it of God, again, that God is long-suffering. He's not slack concerning his promises. Some people got the idea that there is no God. If there was, they'd care about us. There's no such thing. God loves us, and he's not slack concerning his promises. What he's promised will come to pass. He's proved it already in the things that have happened to us. Also, waiting is a Christian virtue. Now, we had some of this already from Rick Strom about the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, and one of them is long-suffering. One thing about long-suffering is it takes time to develop. Just the word, long-suffering, it gives you the thought that this thing doesn't happen automatically in a second, all of a sudden. It takes time. And Christians have this virtue as one of the fruits of the Spirit, to be long-suffering. That means long-suffering means long. It takes time to do things long. And so we wait in a long way. Romans 5. Romans 5, 3. It says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. So tribulation worketh patience. I mean, that means trouble brings you patience. It's told about a young man that talked to Dr. Moody and said, I'd like to pray to have patience. And Dr. Moody says, okay, let's get down and pray. So Dr. Moody started praying, oh God, give this man trouble. He said, wait, I didn't pray for that. I prayed for patience. Well, Dr. Moore says, that's how you get patience. Tribulation worketh patience. And that's how you get it. By running into trouble, tribulation. Sometimes it brings salvation to those who need it. Troubles bring sometimes people into salvation. If people are floating along as if everything is all right and nothing's ever going to happen to disturb my thoughts, and all of a sudden some catastrophe happens in their life, and sometimes that turns into God. When things are floating along merrily, you don't think about God. Now we find tribulation worketh patience, and sometimes it brings salvation. James 1. Verse 3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. So, trying of your faith worketh patience. In 2 Peter 1, verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and the brotherly kindness love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's one of the, patience is one of the fruitful virtues that we have as Christians to enter into. Then we must be patient with the lost. 2 Timothy 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be patient. It says people are opposing themselves. The very path of life that they've taken on themselves, they're really opposing their own best interests, and they don't realize it. It says they've been taken captive by him, by the devil, at his will. Taken captive of the devil by his will. And we must not strive, it says, with them. It's hard to do that, isn't it? You see somebody supposing themselves, if they would only turn to the Lord, if they'd only change their ways, if they only read the Word and believe in the God and receive Christ as their Savior, if they would only do it. No, they don't. We must be patient with them. Do not strive with them, but keep on and on praying for them, that they might turn to the Lord. Now, salvation is something that you must not wait for. This subject that I'm taking up, waiting, gives you the thought, well, I'll keep waiting, something may happen. Waiting. But the scripture says, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Don't wait any longer. Somebody's not saved, don't wait any longer. This is the day to be saved. Don't wait to be saved. Get saved now. N-O-W, now is the day of salvation. And then we have to wait for God sometimes. And turn to Psalm 27. Psalm 27, verse 13. David says this, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So this tells us that we're to wait on the Lord. David was one who was a fugitive. He was being chased by Saul's army, and he didn't know what was going to happen to him. But he knew one thing, that he believed in God, and he trusted in him, and he waited for him. And one day, David became king, king of Israel. The man who was a fugitive now finds himself as king of Israel. What happened? He waited all those years. He waited on God. And one day it came to pass, that which brought him to be the king of Israel. Then also in Psalm 37, verse 3, again, David says this, trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Then rest in the Lord. David says to trust and delight and commit and rest and wait for the Lord. Psalm 62. Verse 1. Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. Verse 5. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. During all his troubles, he still realized that he waited upon God, his God, and his God came through for him. Then Isaiah 40. Verse 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. The young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. So this is what Isaiah tells us. The wonderful thing of waiting upon the Lord. He's not weary. He created the heavens and the earth. And he's able to do anything. So, he says, even the youths shall be faint and weary. The men, young men shall fall. When they do things in their own strength, they don't realize where real strength comes from. Real strength comes from God. And so he says, wait, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Then also we're told to wait for Christ's coming. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verse 9. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the loving, living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Paul, writing to the Thessalonian believers, he's saying, remember when I was among you, and what a wonderful thing was that you turned to God from idols, to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven. So they were told to wait for the Lord Jesus, who was to be coming. And then in James chapter 5, verse 7, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, For the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. The coming of the Lord draweth nigh. He says, brethren, when you plant the seeds and you wait for them to grow up, it takes time. But eventually can they sprout up and they're there. But it takes time to wait. So he says, wait, brethren, be patient unto the coming of the Lord. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Then Philippians 3. Philippians 3, verse 20. For our conversation, or our citizenship, is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like to his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior. We don't belong here. This is not my home. Our home is in glory, in heaven. That's where our citizenship is, and we look for him to come and take us there. And the Lord is faithful. 2 Thessalonians 3. Verse 3. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. The patient waiting for Christ. And also we look for a heavenly city. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. Verse 8. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into the place which he should receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac, Jacob, and heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He set out on this journey. He didn't know where he was going, but he knew that God told him to go. And he was looking for the city which God had prepared for him. Then in verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country, and truly if they had been mindful of this country from whence they came out, they might have opportunity to return. But now they desire a better country, that is in heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. So there's a city waiting for us, New Jerusalem, in which one day we shall go there, and we look for it. be going there. I have a couple of examples here of people who waited. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, reading verse 25. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for in mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Imagine this old man going in the temple and waiting. Waiting and waiting and waiting. All of a sudden, one day came. A babe was brought into the temple. And he thanked God that God had let him see it. He said that the Spirit had shown him that he would not depart till he had seen God's salvation. And there he was, all of a sudden a babe. He took it up in his arms and blessed the child. Then also in verse 36, there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, and lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. I just figured out that she must have been about 110 years old. She was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God, fasting and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that same instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. So there she was waiting too, Anna, waiting for God's Christ to be revealed to her. It's two old people coming day by day into the temple, and looking and waiting for God to answer prayers and to bring the Savior into the temple that they might know that he was coming, and he was there. And then we have one in Mark. This is the last one, Mark 15. Mark 15, verse 42. Now when even was come, because it was the preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God. Imagine that. He was waiting for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. And Pilate marveled if he were already dead, calling unto him the centurion, he asked him whether he had been any while dead. When he knew it of the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. And he bought fine linen and took him down and wrapped him in the linen and laid him in the sepulchre, which was hewn out of a rock, and rolled a stone unto the door of the sepulchre. So here we have a man, the Lord Jesus Christ, had been put to death on the cross. We have a man here, Joseph Arimathea, an honorable man, and he waited for the kingdom of God. And he came and went in and boldly unto Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. I don't know who would be wanting to do that kind of a job. That kind of a job to take down the body of Jesus and put it in the tomb. He dressed him in fine linen, wrapped him in linen, put him in the sepulcher, and put a rock at the door of the sepulcher. But he was a waiting person. He waited for the kingdom of God, and all of a sudden he knew it was his job to do this, to do what was needed to be done, to take the body of Jesus down and put it in the sepulcher. He waited for the kingdom of God. But it was revealed to him, now is your time to do something. Do it. And so he did it. What a wonderful privilege he had of doing this thing for the Lord Jesus Christ. To be one who was willing to do the thing that needed to be done at the Lord's death. And so my talk this morning is I'm waiting. I hope you can think of some things you're waiting for. And the Lord is with you when you're waiting. We find the words be patient, be long-suffering. These things don't happen in the moment. It takes time to wait. So we wait for the Lord. Shall we turn to 188 in the hymn books? Savior, come, thy saints are waiting for the Advent day, thence their promised glory dating. Come and bear thy saints away. Come, Lord Jesus, come, Lord Jesus, thus thy waiting people pray. For these encouraging words from Scripture that Thou hast given us, that we wait for Thee, O God, and there will be a time when it's going to happen, what we've been waiting for, because the Lord does do these things well. So, Lord, we come to Thee thinking of the coming of the Savior, any moment he might come. May we be ready, as we've been saying, that the Lord Jesus will appear. We shall be caught up together with the saints in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. There shall we ever be with the Lord. Comfort one another with these words. We thank thee, Lord, it is comfort to us. We thank thee in thine own precious and holy name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Bless us all this day as we go forth.
I'm Thank you. Thank you.